This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:06 in the evening and you're with Lynn and Kelvin on the Evening Edition. So we've been really kind of giving you political updates throughout the evening today. But it is worth, of course, also looking at, I think, the other ramifications of what's going on. I mean, on the station, we've been talking about things like how this impacts the civil service, who have essentially been left to keep the car on the road, right, to keep things running as we don't currently have a cabinet, interim or otherwise. And we've also been, talking a little bit about the effects that this could have on our economy.
Yeah, so this isn't exactly the most opportune time to have a crisis like this. In the meantime, we're also dealing with the COVID-19 health crisis, which of course has seen China hit quite hard. And because we are such close trading partners with China, we've also been facing some of the consequences in terms of trade, in terms of tourism as well.
Yes. I think during Market Wrap on Monday itself, we did hear from Keith Kam about how essentially the KLCI did not close particularly well. And in fact, it was the lowest in 9 years. It dropped by 41.4 points. That was on Monday. He also pointed out, of course, that we're not alone in the region on this. But like you said, there is a little bit of a mix of factors that could be going into this, and none more present, I think, than really this thing that we've just been talking about endlessly. So to pivot slightly and to look at the economy, we have on the line with us Lawrence Todd, Head of Research and Development at IDEAS. Lawrence, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi.
So first of all, how much have the week-long political uncertainties affected our economy so far, especially given that prior to this, we had the issue of the COVID-19 outbreak?
Well, look, I mean, clearly it goes without saying that businesses prefer certainty, and the political developments essentially amount to quite a high degree of uncertainty. So I think that much is clear. And as you were just saying there, there's various layers to this, because this is happening in the context of what was already an acute crisis with COVID-19, a complex crisis that is quite difficult to pin down exactly, all the channels through which it impacts the economy. But of course, we're seeing impacts in tourism and those people-to-people industries, but also as supply chains are slowing down due to the slowdown in trade with China and so on. So this has hit at a difficult time. And in fact, even, this week, the COVID-19 crisis really stepped up, I think, a level with the European markets really sort of suddenly kind of really feeling the jitters for the first time. So it's quite difficult to sort of separate out all those different factors. And I think, the other thing I would say is that, like, now, increasingly, if I come at this from a sort of economic policy perspective, okay, so we've got the uncertainty of these few days, and clearly there's going to be uncertainty for the next 48 hours or so. But on the assumption that, a government does emerge, the question will then shift in the minds of the voters and also businesses as to what is the economic policy of the new government. Is it a continuation of the status quo, or is there something new, and how will that be arrived at, and how actively is the new government going to return its focus to the policy issues that are really going to make a difference in people's lives? So I think that's, the beyond the kind of immediate uncertainty that this, the fact that we don't have a sitting government, is then when we do get a government, what is the policy priorities of that government?
So the KLCI has been severely weakened this week. Is this expected to continue for a while?
Well, I think we'll see movements like that for as long as the sort of the acute uncertainty of the last few days continues. But I think as you guys have been saying the past few days, look, there's also a lot of this is being driven by COVID-19. And look, I mean, to be honest, the Malaysian economy wasn't exactly doing cartwheels before the virus hit. I mean, I think we saw that dip in the Q4 figures for growth. And now I think that was in some ways a bit anomalous, but for us, the thing that's been spooking us for a while is the slowdown in private investment. The drop off, the import of capital goods has been falling for some time, which means that Malaysian businesses aren't buying in machinery, aren't looking to invest. So as a leading indicator, that's quite worrying about what's coming down the line in terms of growth prospects. So to be honest, like me personally, we'll get through this uncertainty. A government will emerge and the stock market will stabilize. Then we'll have to quickly move to address the COVID-19 and the question of the stimulus package and what policies the government's going to place. But then we really need to move and address these structural questions, because more important than the sort of daily movements of the stock market is the underlying competitiveness of the Malaysian economy.
So in the midst of all this, what role do financial institutions such as Bank Negara have in maintaining, some degree of economic stability before we get to that point that you're describing, where we reach something approaching the end of all of this?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think one of the advantages of the current system, we talk a lot about the government's presence in the economy, but one of the advantages is that it does provide a degree of stability in times like this, right? I mean, basically, a good chunk, maybe 40% of listed shares are ultimately in the hands of the government. So I think the first role is that there's that degree of stability in the financial market is there. Then the bank is also there, of course, and can step in. I don't see that there's an immediate need during this acute crisis for any action from the bank. You know, I think we need a Minister of Finance in place pretty quickly, I think. And I think the acute issue there is really on stimulus package, because there was quite a lot of expectation that had been built in that was coming. There's obviously material impacts on the ground that need to be addressed. And so I think that's something that we want to get back on track as quickly as possible. So I think from an institutional perspective, I think having a functional finance ministry as soon as possible is very important. But otherwise, I think in terms of the overall financial situation, that the priority is for a stable government to emerge that can tackle the COVID-19 crisis and then can move on to the structural issues in the Malaysian economy. So I think we have the resilience in the Malaysian economy to give the politicians space to emerge with that government. But of course, they need to do so as quickly as possible.
And talk to us about the implications this will have on our ringgit.
The ringgit is, there's layers within layers. This isn't going to be positive for the ringgit. Investors aren't going to be particularly attracted. But that's not particularly a new story. I mean, I think the other thing to bear in mind is, of course, the political situation has significantly escalated in the past few days. But it's really been a coming to fruition of tensions that have been there for, it's really since GE14, but have been building for the last 8 months. So I think some of this, I think it happened at a speed that surprised investors and businesses, but some of the uncertainty that the political situation has created has been priced in a little bit, I think. We'll continue there. On each new twist in this story, we'll see a reaction both in the equity markets and in the ringgit itself. But as I say, I think it's important not to be too drawn into these kind of, the movements that are correlated with the acute uncertainty we have in these few days. And it's important just to give the government space to form, or give the politicians the space, I should say, to form a stable government that can get on and address the real questions urgently.
So with that in mind then, without trying to draw you into speculation, I guess, do we know right now in terms of long-term impact what this might look like, and whether or not that impact will also be dependent on who comes into power?
Well, I think that this is it feels like a choice is emerging. I mean, the story might change again, and we'll have to see. Of course, this is not a conventional political contest in the sense that we don't have a clear policy platform for these different options that seem to be in play. So it's quite difficult to speculate about the future direction of policy. And also, I think at its heart, this isn't really the contest that is happening isn't really one that's about to think clear definition on policy. It's more driven by, I think, different views about the just bigger picture direction of Malaysia. And so it's difficult, I think, for observers to isolate, okay, well, if this happens, this is going to be the general policy direction. And also the speed at which it's happened means that I think if there's a government that's even a little bit different to the one we've had until now, you know, they're going to need some time to put together a policy program. So I think it will be a little bit uncertain in terms of the future policy direction for you know, a while to come. And then that's really not great, because we weren't really seeing from Pakatan the kind of the urgency that I think was needed to address the structural issues in the Malaysian economy. And this is only going to delay a government being in place that is prepared to tackle those issues. So I'm afraid, I think in that sense, the acute uncertainty of the last few days will, of course, ease away once there is a resolution. I think whatever government emerges will move on COVID-19. Clearly, the Ministry of Finance have prepared a package that's ready to go. So that will then happen, presumably, in the next few days, if not tomorrow as planned. Then I think we'll be in a bit of a wait and see again about what is the direction of policy for the new government. And I would just urge them to focus as quickly as possible on those structural questions, because Malaysia can't afford to have all this time consumed by the politics in this way.
Do we know how soon countries usually recover from political upheavals like this, and what examples can we draw from other nations?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we were in the office yesterday, we were discussing about how similar or not this is to similar mid-term coalition breakdowns that you see in Europe, where you see parties kind of break down and reconstitute. Italy has done it, I think, a few times even in the last 18 months. So, look, I think that there is the civil service is, I think, highly, highly competent. Every time I've engaged with the civil service, and provides a very good bedrock for an incoming government to pick up the reins on different policy initiatives. You know, we've got the 12th Malaysia Plan expected this year. As I mentioned before, the stimulus package has already been prepared. So I think there's a lot of good work that exists and is being kind of held by the civil service machine that incoming ministers can pick up. And so really, I think it's a matter of the big picture decisions in terms of the overall direction of policy. So I think I feel like the machinery exists within Malaysia to deliver reforms. It's about the political will. So it's really just politicians looking themselves in the mirror and saying, okay, how far do we want to go on this issue or that issue? But in terms of, so it's really a political question rather than a sort of mechanical question. I think the government itself is equipped to move on from this very quickly once a new government is in place.
Lawrence, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Lawrence Todd, Head of Research and Development at IDEAS, talking about the potential economic implications that the political situation the country finds itself in might have. Sorry for the complicated sentence. essentially, we were looking at the economy, really. That's all it was. And I think that there were a lot of excellent points there that Lawrence brought up. Basically, this idea of, A, we need to move Well, give the government space to sort themselves out. But then once there is something in place, we need to move quick because, the implications, especially considering how things look globally, not that great.
They were really trying to put in the groundwork together with the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030. But I think at this point, it's really about the Solo Prosperity Vision 2020. I think that's what we're looking at for one, maybe it's a select few individuals. And I think if we don't catch up enough, I think we risk losing a lot of the work that's already been put in by, I guess we could safely say, the former current administration.
Mm. So we're going to be back to read your messages. Keep them coming. You can call us at 7733 2900 as well. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.